disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, I'm pumped up about today's show. I really am. And as most of you know, we do guests here, but we don't do a lot of guests here. I've never been had more excitement for a guest than what we have today with Scott Kesterson, Bards FM. I'll jump into that in just a second. Let me do a little bit. Hey, folks, right now, notify somebody, okay? Notify somebody. Text somebody. Facebook somebody. Say, you've got to tune in. Bards FM's on with Coach Dave. Just do that for me right now. A couple things I want to cover real quick. Betty had the most unbelievable event at her house this last weekend. We had, I don't know, 45, 50 people. Some of them new people. We're raising up people all across America. Betty, my wife came home and cleaned our house. She couldn't believe how clean your house was. We're sorry we left it dirty, but what a wonderful, wonderful event you had. God bless you, Betty. You're a warrior. Clay, we have Clay's event coming up. There's going to be about 100 of us, maybe more than 100, down in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, coming up this weekend. If you can believe that already, the Kindred of the Kingdom Conference. We got a lot of people coming. It's going to be awesome. We want you to be part of it. Email me, text me, do whatever if you got some questions about that. I'm running through this fast. How about the 26th? Matthew 26 for 26 days. Did you take communion yesterday with your spouse? I did. Michelle and I did. We're going to take communion together in your home. Matthew 26 for 26 days. All right. Draw yourself close to the Lord. We have got to get Christ back in the center of our families. Michelle and I did it yesterday. We're doing it today. Yes, crazy things are going on in Afghanistan. No, I'm going to not talk about it today, even though it's right on the tip of our tongue. One of the greatest fails ever in the history of American military exercise, whatever. Unbelievable. The thousands of people who died, the thousands of people who remained, all for nothing. But we're not going to talk about that today, I promise you. And then, boy, folks, got to tell you something. They're trying to get Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, our friend Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, they want to take away her medical license. They want her to take a psychiatric evaluation because evidently if you think vaccines are bad, you're crazy. And we are raising up an army and a war to be engaged in that thing. I want you to know that. That's gone on. A lot of gone on. Tomorrow morning, I'll slow down and I'll talk about all this stuff. But I want to get Scott in here as quick as I can. Kick up his bio there real quick, Spencer, if you can for me. And I hate bios, all right? But you can read it. It's on the screen. He was a backpack journalist. In other words, Scott Kesterson went over in the Middle East and he embedded himself during the special operations that were going over there. And they made a film. He made a documentary film that he released. And then his life took an even bigger turn from all of that. And Scott had a real spiritual awakening. He said, what's going on? What am I doing with my life? Where are we going? Scott, I'm not trying to trample all of you. I'm just giving you the people. We don't need to hear your bio. We need to hear what you have to say. This guy's been at it for quite a while. He's awake. And I like Scott because those of you who watch the show know this. It's time for us to quit talking and it's time for us to start doing. And when I came across Scott Kesterson, when Dr. Sherry Tenpenny connected me to Scott, I went back and started listening to some of his broadcasts. He's the only guy I'd rather listen to than me. Because when I hear Scott talk, it sounds like me. He's got a deeper voice and a slower voice. But he and I are on the exact same page. Now, he is having Bards FM. Click that up there real quick for me, Spencer, if you can. Many of us in the queue are going to show up at Bards FM in Missouri coming up here in a couple weekends, a four-day event, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, August 26th through the 29th. This is amazing. They're no longer selling tickets. Scott is doing this entirely by donations. You heard that right, donations. I want everyone who is watching here today, At the conclusion of this show, go make a donation at this website. $5, $10, whatever you can do. Scott is fighting unbelievable opposition, as you can imagine, right? They don't want this. But Scott, listen, friends, this isn't just a patriotic event. This is a Christ-centered patriotic event. Blowing the shofar, repentance, asking Christ to come back, get involved with what's going on. Save us from this untoward generation. I'm going to shut up. I got more to talk about. Scott Kesterson, thanks for getting up on the West Coast. It's 4 o'clock out there, folks, and he got up here with us. And appreciate it. Scott, come on in, brother, and just go wherever you want to go. Get unmute. Get unmute, Scott.
All right. Can you hear me okay, Coach?
Yeah, there you go, buddy. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, it's a little early. It's okay. It's only about an hour earlier than I normally get up, so that's okay. We're good.
Good.
I'm going to just start off just right off the top, just kind of hit on some of the things you said. It's Bard's Fest, August 26th, August 29th in St. Louis, Missouri. We started this out as a dual two-site location. One was in St. Charles and the other was in St. Louis County, 9 miles apart, two events. Strategically and logistically, that was a bit complicated, but it got more complicated about 2 weeks ago when Eventbrite decided, thanks to a Media Matters hit piece, our communist rag, that they decided to go after Bard's Fest as a QAnon militia event. I just need to read this. If we have any questions about that, it reads and has read from the very beginning. Bard's Fest will bring together the celebration of God, family, and country. I guess that constitutes a threat to the national security, which it does, because we're dealing with a bunch of Luciferian whores out here that are dealing with that. So I can't even say anything other than that. But bottom line is that at that point, it's, you know, when you get, you're getting close to the event and you get deplatformed and you lose, I mean, that's literally erasing your sales and everybody's told that the event has been canceled.
Yeah.
And so you kind of take a breath back, and we did a lot of praying on it. The one thing I can tell you about this event, and when it was first conceived, which was March of this last year, and what we've been able to do in the span of time we've had is typically what takes well over a year of planning. We've put this thing together in really an active planning of about 3.5 to 4 months. So been an amazing team, an amazing amount of work, and an amazing amount of blessings from God. And I'll get into the story of how it originated. But
the greatest spiritual revival in human history. That's what Scott's calling this. I agree with you, Scott. Go ahead, brother.
It's for this time, and it really is. It is. We expect it to be, I would say, probably the greatest spiritual revival potentially in the history of humankind. And I'll talk about that as well. But just real quickly, we were deplatformed then. About 2 weeks ago, we've been praying on this the entire time. This event is God's event. It's not our event. And we've been stewarding this as God's guided us. And what became really clear is something that's been gnawing at me anyway is the idea of selling tickets to a God event. So we took a risk and I just opened it up for donations more to help us have one event that was all donations and the other event were ticket sales. And then as I'm reading through the comments, something struck me really, and we took it to prayer, and it was basically, you know, I guess you're making one of your events is a mega church event. And boy, it just put chills down my spine, because if there's anything I can't stand, it's mega churches. So
amen.
So, I mean, there's nothing worse in when we're trying to get down to the intimacy of God living through us. So anyway, we made the decision then as to get rid of Ticketmaster as well. The headline of that Media Matters article, which is up, is critical. And it was a lot of, I think God kind of showed me the way through this one. Ticketmaster and Eventbrite are making money off of a conference organized by blah, blah, blah. When you take that and you say Ticketmaster and Eventbrite are making money off of a conference for God, you're like, no. We are not going to do that at all. So we turned this entire event into a donation-driven event, and we were very successful. This last Wednesday, last week, we built our own ticket engine and put it on the website. So I'm actually quite happy to say our ticket engine's even better than Ticketmaster for all the money we rake out of everybody. So anyway, this is how it works. Very simple. If you're interested in supporting the event, click that blue button on the screen at bardsfest.com. can't miss it. It says, I'm not attending Bards Fest. I would like to donate. Click on that and you can make a donation.
Folks, I'm doing that right now. Scott's talking right now. I'm on donating. I want you guys do the same thing. Do it right now.
If we go to the ticket side and it says, I'm attending Bards Fest, I need tickets. Here's the great thing. You go over and you need tickets. You determine, and I'm just going to read what we've got there on the screen, Coach. This is God's event. You determine the price per ticket that you would like to donate. We are asking for a minimum donation of $5 a ticket. You decide. You can get up to 7 tickets per transaction. Each ticket is good for the full 4 days of Bards Fest event. Children under 12 are free. Your donations will make this event possible. And then we've had this other piece, which is if you cannot afford to purchase a ticket, please contact us because we will provide. The biggest thing here as a revival, which is what this is, we want everybody to be able to attend. And the last thing I want is to have a barrier of a ticket. So it's amazing the outpouring from Patriots. I cannot tell you. We have made up all the lost ticket sales in 10 days, all based on the donation model. And I think that speaks very deeply to the way God wants things to work. It is us truly helping one another. You find Patriots that can not afford or barely afford tickets balanced by Patriots that are just sending us huge money to make sure that everybody can attend. Some people that are attending, some people that are not. It is beautiful to witness this and be part of such a giving and experience. And it's transformed the event. We've consolidated the event down to one location in St. Louis, known as the Drive-In St. Louis Powerplex. It's owned by a great Christian, and he's been fighting the communists over there and with all the mask regulations and so forth. But it's going to be, it's a private venue. We've got, it's indoor and outdoor. That picture right there is kind of a glimpse from that you've got on the screen, Coach, is kind of a picture from the outdoor. There is a huge Megatron and stage outdoor, and there is equally an indoor. This used to be a big surface mall that they bought. And the reason he bought it during this COVID pandemic nonsense is that he wanted an ability for parents or for families to be together. So the entire point was families from the very beginning. So while they were trying to tell people they couldn't be together, he said, fine, I'll have people drive their cars into what used to be the parking lot of the mall, and we'll set up a massive Megatron theater or screen, and we'll have concerts, and people can sit there together, and they can enjoy this together in their cars and meet the COVID restrictions and not have to be separated. And yet they can be close enough with each other, they can roll down their windows and chat with each other.
Hey, man, good idea.
It was great. So the entire concept of the Drive-In St. Louis Powerplex was families. And that's ultimately where we've centered the entire event for good reason, because we want all these Patriot events we've been having. And is my biggest criticism is none of them have focused on the family.
Amen, brother. Amen on that.
We cannot start bringing our kids to these events and having them experience something phenomenal, to where they feel not only the joy of being an American and the joy of being in a country that we are so proud of, but equally and most importantly, the power of God. What are we doing for our future? And that's exactly the problem, is that we right now are lacking, we truly are lacking an experience for children. So the part of this that we've done here is we've created in the indoor and outdoor experience, we have a whole setup for families. We're bringing in a Ferris wheel. We've got a scrambler. We've got a house of mirrors for kids. We've got food vendors, obviously. We have an indoor area, which has an ice skating rink. We have a cornhole area. We have an area for this kind of ninja inflatable obstacle course. We have daycare set up for parents. We have also 7 areas of breakout area, Coach, that are all built on a county-by-county program, which is spend time learning how to get active and take control of their lives again through county by county action, which is ultimately something that, from my own work in counterinsurgency for a lot of years, it is the only thing that's going to take this nation back. And that's, we're going to have to get an active at that local level and resecure our counties at a center point of faith and love of God from the bottom up. And when we do that, we'll start to be able to really take this nation back. But this festival, 26th to the 29th of August in St. Louis, Missouri, is also going to be live streamed. It'll be live streamed on Brighteon TV. It'll be live streamed on Clout Hub. And it will be live streamed. And Clout Hub, I believe we're going to live stream to our own channel, Bards FM, on Clout Hub. And it's going to be live streamed by Mike Lindell's TV. Also, Glory will be there. and they will be doing some live streaming and interviews. So there's going to be a lot of coverage. We've got about 10 different alternative media agencies or groups there. Agencies is the right term. Alternative media truth tellers. They're going to be there. So, and by the way, we have not invited any mainstream media, though I suspect they'll try to slime their way in, and we'll deal with that when we get there. So anyway,
man, Scott, it's unbelievable. I can't even believe how you've, the risks that you've taken and the way that you've taken out, stepped out, but the way the Lord is multiplying what's going on. By the way, folks, I'm donating right now. I hope you're doing the exact same thing. Everybody in here, give some money to provide the opportunity for somebody else to come if you can't. So, Scott, Bard's Fest, you can go there, folks. Go to the website, check everything out. Greatest spiritual revival in human history. Scott, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, brother.
Oh, I'm ready.
What's this all about, brother? What is going on? And why, Scott, first of all, why we need to have an urgency for the times that we are in? And why is there no urgency for the times that we are in? That we have convinced ourselves that just next week, Donald Trump's going to come back and be in the White House and everything's going to be hunky-dory good. Scott, that just isn't true, is it?
No, it's not. And this is, first of all, these sorts of... To understand, I have to compliment those that are running the PSYOP about Trump, because every time they do it, somebody up in this hand puppet administration that's run by China freaks out and shows more of their hand. And so that's right. That's a good thing. But in reality, we have to stop worshiping the man. And I think that the greatest blessing that we ever had was that President Trump walked off the stage and handed us the keys. If we go back to April 29th, of 2020, you will find a document signed called the Proclamation of Law Day. On the fourth paragraph down in that document, and it articulates very clearly, and it's a very significant document that President Trump signed, and that document states that the responsibility of the Constitution is ours. And he handed us the keys right then. He knew what was going on, and they knew what was to come. On July 3rd, standing in the base of Mount Rushmore, he told everybody, it is time, it is your time to stand up and be loud and be heard. When we get to November 3rd, then essentially we have moved from the age of the Great Awakening to what we are in now is what I call the age of accountability and consequence.
Amen.
We are now living in a period where people have to start taking responsibility for the decisions they make, and hence you're seeing this everywhere. So in this last year, what we've really faced is the ability and realization that what we are doing, we are accountable for. And the problem is we have not lived that way. For too many years, we've lived in this sort of illusion that life is easy. What life is about is about, I mean, basically life in the world has been defined as our house, our car, what we wear, who we hang out with, what neighborhood we live in.
Who we root for, what football team we root for, right?
Exactly. We got to have sports in there because that's our real false idol. And then nothing personal, coach. And then we have to have our 401ks. And if we can worship those and do fine, this has been the trap from the very beginning. And I think this is what people have missed, is that we have been in war with evil from the beginning. This goes back to the garden and the fall. And the problem is that over the years, we have been told that war looks a very certain way. War is supposed to look as though it's going to be armies standing up against each other and slaying each other. This has been a spiritual war from the moment that we were created by God, and has continued. And we have been here for the purpose of saving, occupying this land, expanding his kingdom, and saving the many that would listen. Amen. But we've become lured into a massive trap. And the trap is our greed, and it's our consumption, and it's our worship of things. And in a material culture, there's no finer place than to get things. And I'll tell you, the extension of how far and how crazy that comes is literally now, it's really this kind of Walmart map where we just go and we buy stuff just to have stuff. And it's all because it's cheap. And we're going to make sure that we take our time and take our resources, and we put all that energy into buying stuff to fill our lives with. Our only thing we have always needed is God in our heart. And with that walk of Christ. And so here we are at this point in time where all of this is now being shredded right before us. The worship of the empires of the materialism are starting to show their true head and what that really looks like. And it's not evil. And we're faced then with a choice, which is what most people are now being confronted with, which is this choice between job and the worship of job and money and 401ks and all those things. And that path, it is really the wide gate. And we say, okay, do we want to go down this path and you're going to take the injection and preserve your security, which is a false god? And, or are you going to make the choice and step away and preserve your temple, not put that injection in your body, the temple that isn't ours, but it's ours to steward for God? And are you going to step off that platform, and are you going to go over here and put your faith in God for the first time and really trust where he'll guide you and do the one thing he's always said, I will provide all that you need.
Where the rubber meets the road, Scott, this is where it is, right?
Talk is cheap, right, brother. Now. Well, Coach, this is, and you know, the terminology that we you and I talked about recently. I mean, this is literally fourth quarter. We are now 2 minutes to go. We are two and a half touchdowns down, and you better decide how you're going to play. If you're going to sit on the bench and expect God to intervene and do and win this game for you, pack it up right now. Just take that Gatorade.
They don't work, brother. They don't work. I tried many football games. I prayed for that one, Scott. I need somebody to go cause a fumble or somebody to pick off a pass, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, God works through us. This is the biggest thing. And this is one of, I think, the biggest myths that we've grown up with is that, it's what I call the marshmallow pew sitters in church. It's like we sit in the church every Sunday and we say, okay, God, help me. And it's kind of like, yeah, I'd like to, but I'd like you to do something first too. Would you mind doing that? And it's,
you wouldn't do that for your own kid, would you, Scott? If you sat there, just begged for help and never got off the couch.
No. I mean, what is that? We have a relationship with God that's active and it's alive and it's working in this world and it's powerful. And if we step into that, there is no limit to what we're capable of doing and with God in our lives. No limit. This crisis that we're in right now is so amazing because it would end in 30 days if people would just stand up and say, I'm done playing.
Amen.
I'm done playing. I'm going to go over and play on God's team. I'm not playing on your team. And I'm going to go over here and play on God's team. And we're going to stand together on God's team. And when we do that, by the way, that means that, no, I'm not going to my job. Do people realize how much power they have? They don't. Watch this. There's 80 million people that voted for President Trump. Now, I'm going to assume to a certain degree because of just what we've seen, about 80 million of those people at some level or another have God in their heart. Now, I want you to imagine an economy, an engine that is in this economy where 80 million people step off and go, we're not going to work today. And in doing so, we get over here and we say, we're not going to participate in your Luciferian games. We're not going to take the shot. We're not going to work. We're just going to shut the economy down. I will tell you, it will take less than 30 days before these people are on their knees begging this thing to be turned around. And here's an interesting thing. This came out a couple nights ago from a person in Wall Street, and he basically said this. He said, you all need to hear this. Wall Street is playing Russian roulette. They believe that they can coax you into taking this shot, but they also know if they lose this game, their company's burned to the ground. Well, it's time to burn to the ground.
It is, brother. It's time to do it, isn't it, Scott?
It is. This is how you win. You don't play, you know, this is Jericho. And Jericho takes many forms, but Jericho, the one lesson we can get from Jericho is that when we fight a war with God and God leads us, it is a ruthless victory over evil. And we tend to we don't like these words. We are so tempted, want to be nice, and we want to hug each other, and we want to talk about. We are Christians. This does not say that we believe in everything. You have to have a line between what you believe and what you will not accept. Mm-hmm. If you start believing in anything, you believe everything. You believe in nothing. That's the problem. And there needs to be a backbone to this on the game field that we are going to literally get out here and we are going to start stuffing the ball down their throat. And we do that through some very powerful and decisive actions together led by God.
Amen. Amen. And it's the one thing that we haven't invited back in. Christians in particular, Scott. Look, we so outnumber them. We so can win this battle, but we have got to engage in this battle now. And Scott, I make the statement that we have the worst Christian leadership in the history of America right now, the worst leadership. I've been to Washington, D.C. several times over the last few months for marches. Yeah, I was there on January 6th. You know what I saw, Scott? When I got in this battle 20 years ago, I was trying to wake people up, and everybody thought I was nuts. They still think that, but not so much anymore. And what I saw was we had a few coaches, but we didn't have any players. Scott, now we got players, but we don't have any coaches. I went to Washington, D.C. It was chaos. Who's in charge here? Who is running the show? Other than Donald Trump, who's in charge? Now, we know this, that God's team is the body of Christ. We know that. There's no demilitarized zone. There's no fence to ride. You can't be a double-minded man, because if you are, you are unstable in all of our ways. So we think that we can obey God and obey unrighteous, unholy government. Scott, that ain't going to work.
You can't put one foot in each camp. That's the bottom line. And if you really pay attention to what's going on right now, what's most amazing is how God's working in this world is he's making everybody make a choice. You now have to decide. And whether it's going to be the injection, which modifies your DNA, which makes you not part of him right now. Good luck on that one, by the way. I'm really harsh on this, coach, and I get everybody riled when I say this. And I just how I stand on it. I don't budge. It's this. You take that shot. You took a choice of making salvation through a needle, and you walked away from your salvation on Christ. End of story. You have walked away. And we hear this thing is like, well, once saved, ever saved. And I'm like, okay, here's the deal. Lord, 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 as it said. And he says that you will say that, and I will deny you. I will deny you.
Depart from me. I never knew you.
I never knew you. And can you imagine this? I mean, this is not a guaranteed ticket. This is a work and an effort of commitment every day. This is like getting up every single day. And when you're working in a battlefield and you're saying, okay, well, it's almost like saying, well, today, let's see, yesterday we won our battle. So today I can show up and they won't kill me. No, I mean, you're going to have to fight for your survival every single day. That is the reality of where we are. And this idea has to be reinfused if we're going to survive. We have become way too weak. Your point is the most of the leadership in this nation, and I say a large percentage of it, we are really blessed, by the way, at Bardsfest to have some of the most powerful voices in the pastor section segment of our nation, small churches.
Amen.
That have been bold. They are literally cut from the black robe of old. And these are the sorts of people that we need at this in this time and place. But we don't have leadership, as you say, because a lot of what God has done is he's stripping that leadership out of the way, in my opinion, and he's now showing the new leaders coming up, rising up to bring people to their feet. We have to. We have seen a corruption in our leadership that is pathetic, and I mean that across the board, everything from our military leadership to our civilian leadership to our religious leadership.
So, Scott, if we could just take a minute, Scott, and talk a little bit about your own personal spiritual trends, transformation, because here's what happened to me. When I got born again, Scott, in 1988, I immediately fell into an evangelifish church. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Love everybody, tolerate everybody. God wants to bless you, yada, yada, yada. Through a rude awakening my battle with the ACLU, my eyes opened, I saw what was going on. What happened with you, Scott? Because clearly something in the last few years has put as they would say, a firecracker up your hind end. What happened, Scott?
Well, so I spent, first of all, 3.5 years on the ground in Afghanistan. Most of that time was at village level. And I came out of that with an enormous amount of experience in counterinsurgency. I was working with some pretty high-level joint special operations teams. And then I went on to work at Department of Defense in a very specialized unit over in Fort Meade, which was basically what we call a special missions unit. We traveled the world looking for emerging threats. And so it was in 2015 that I came to a realization of what our 2016 election was really about, when I kind of assembled my own intelligence, and it became clear that we were right on the cusp of losing the nation through what was an illusion of election, thanks to Hillary Clinton.
2015.
And then I briefed that to a bunch of the guys that I had worked with. So in 2016, I stood up my own unaligned super PAC called Kilroy Rising, and I brought together about 100+ special operations veterans. You can still read that article on Breitbart News. It's under Scott Kesterson, Kilroy Rising.
Kilroy Rising.
And that article was put our position statement against this insurgent president of Hussein Obama, and there was over 100+ special operators signed onto that letter. Well, we were very effective in the work that we did in mobilizing the vote, especially from fringe elements that would never have voted. That's it right there, Coach. Exclusive 100+ right there. Good. So that's...
Put that in the chat, Spence, please. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Scott.
So then obviously President Trump won in 2017. I converted that into what was called the American brand, and I went about going county by county, town by town, on a planes, trains, automobiles excursion across the United States, and telling stories of small town America and what had happened. In August of 2017, now I had accepted Christ many years before when in my youth, But as to kind of your point, I was in a, it was a ridiculous church. And I was in a town as well that was so overcome by this, by the newborn, reborn movement, that it was just, it was more hypocrisy than anything else. And there was a lot of distastefulness for what the Christian religion had become.
Amen, brother.
Not my core of faith that I've been raised with. And that stayed strong in my life. So in August 2017, I launched a video on Facebook, and it was and YouTube, and it was called "We're Going to War." And I articulated out a process of how we were going to organize locally, start having a data share system, how we were going to start identifying all the communists in the country, and all these deep state trolls and people that were owned by Soros, et cetera, et cetera. And it gained an enormous amount of traction. That one video did about 110,000 views in about 24 hours. And it caught a lot of attention. 1 week later, I'm taking a break in Billings, Montana, I get a knock at my door. I'm about ready to go live on my show. I open the door thinking it's late afternoon room service, which was weird. And as I open the door, I'm greeted by a U.S. Marshal and three Billings cops. And he says, "I have a warrant for your arrest." And I said, "Excuse me." So this was one of these moments where the marshal says to me, he says, "Scott, I've read your file." This is literally a quote. He says, "I've read your file. None of this makes any sense. I'm just the messenger. I need you to trust me." I said, "Okay." So in the process, then I am arrested and I've put in jail for 20 days without charge. And But I just want to highlight this. On day four, the media knew my charges, and they did a media hit about 30 pieces across the nation about how I'd apparently stole money from my own nonprofit, which was kind of interesting. But anyway, that part is the their side. The side of God's side is this. As I get put into jail for the first time in my life that night, and you're pretty much thinking your world is over. The things that we hang on to, you really identify what you believe and what you don't believe, let me tell you. And as that jail door shut behind me, and I looked up on the back wall, I see a guy sitting at the desk that's your cellie, so to speak. And on the back wall, there's a Nazi swastika painted in a pencil. I'm thinking to myself, whoa, this is going to be a interesting night. So he looks over at me, and then he looks up at the wall, and he says, "Oh, that." He goes, "I've been trying to get that erased for about a week, but the guards won't give me anything to wipe it off with." And then he says, "My name is," and I think his name, he said something, Dave Metzger, Chris Metzger. And that just absolutely sent a chill at my spine, because there was a Metzger that I knew of. He was on the West Coast. He ran the Skinhead Network. This guy looked very much like one. And he had been put in jail for head stomping an Ethiopian kid up in Portland and killing him in a racial kill. So I thought to myself, again, this is going to be a very, very long night. I can see this coming. Then he says this. He looks at me and he says, "Good thing God puts us together. He puts us together for amazing ways."
Wow.
I literally thought I was going to have a brain aneurysm about right then. I had no idea what happened to me. I'm not exaggerating. Everything about me started to just be torn apart. Over the next few days, he and I are in the cell together. He's sharing scripture with me that he's been able to get in. He can't get a Bible in jail. And he's put together a list of scriptures that he shares with me. And then over the next 20 days, I have literally an experience of Paul. And the people that I'm meeting are the most well-read people in scripture I had ever encountered, and the most deeply faithful I'd ever been witnessed in my life.
Wow.
One of the guys was the enforcer for the Crips, and that means he was the head assassin. I am not exaggerating, Coach. He had the Bible memorized from front to back. There was nothing he couldn't quote per scripture. And it opened my eyes to something huge. And I woke up on the fourth morning with a very powerful voice that said, "You need to return to storytelling and film." And I said, "Yes." And so it was literally somewhere in there that I picked up the Bible and I said, "We are going to begin again." And I started from the beginning. Wow. And so what happens then over the next 2 years is, from that point, God rebuilt me. And I mean, from scratch, he broke down every single thing I was. He stripped everything, single avenue I had to go backwards. I could no longer go back. My consulting, because of reputation in the media, was dead. my ability to hold my top secret clearance was on hold. All of this was stripped from me. I was ripped down to the core, and the only place you had was to turn to him and say, okay, guide me. Hmm. And so I did. A buddy of mine, they finally let me out of their internment there in their holding camp. They put me in, and it was just the craziest thing ever, because here I was, this big deal, extraditing me to Denver, making this big media splash about me being a felon. Remember, I've never been charged in my life. I mean, this is incredible, right? I mean, it's pretty hard on you when you get hit this way from the media the first time you go through it, because yeah, one of the things you come to realize is how much we hang on to our own pride and vanity.
Amen, buddy. Amen on that one.
One of these things that we literally have to say, let it go. And God, you know, it was in the dreams that God would just say, like, let it go. Let it go. You've got me. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna trust in you like never before. And that's exactly what I did. And I've never left that path, Coach, never.
Amen.
And I'm here now. I mean, I went down to South Georgia. I lived there for 2 years. We went through this whole process. They're hanging this thing over my head that I'm on it's a provisional probation. Basically, it's nothing. You're not really anything. They hold you in a status for 2 years. I literally got back up to jail. Or not to jail, to the final court hearing. And 2 years later, I walked in. The attorney that prosecuted me sees me, pats me on the shoulder. He says, did you get any more trouble? I said, no. He laughs. He goes, you made it through. And not only did they discharge all of the charges, they sealed the file. That's God working right there. Okay.
Wow.
And it was from that point that through the whole process, literally, it was about 2 years I spent down there at a wonderful small church and met and worked with a pastor down there by the name of Travis Graham, who's going to be speaking at Bard's Fest, by the way. And this is a small local church of very much old, where it's more like the ecclesia, the way it works, and just amazing people. There wasn't a person in that church that had not been touched by somebody, whether it was friends or whether it was family, that had died from a crack overdose. Mm. And you really get in touch with the reality of small town and small town America. Amazing people. It's really they're an extended family for me even to this day. One of my best friends was there. He was a special forces sniper and medic, and he and I just had a lot of time together. And so all this said and done, here I am today. I mean, it's been an amazing journey, and it's just one that I've just handed over to God, and he just continues to multiply.
Brother, we feel it coming through the screen, Scott. Listen, do this for me, because I'm going to open it up. Some of these guys are going to they want some questions with you. Hey, Scott, just take 5 minutes, and if you can, talk about the urgency of the hour from a Christian male perspective, the urgency of the hour, and then we'll open it up. So if you want to get in there, get your hand up now. Go ahead, Scott.
We're at a point right now. We're in a crisis in the where we're going to go. The war is for our soul, bottom line. And in my opinion, this is the last month we have to really realize our freedoms and make a decision on which way we're going to stand.
Hey, Scott, I'm sorry. On your website, it says war is the teacher.
Yes.
Soldier, it's students. Faith and knowledge, the greatest weapon of war. Through stories, absolutely, we reshape the narrative to strengthen our resolve, awaken the truth, expand our vision beyond the limits of the matrix, and bring us closer to God. In the end, God wins. Go ahead.
God does win. It's just, as I say all the time, is God wins. Do we want to sit on the sideline and let him do it on his
Amen.
Own? Or do we want to get in the fight and start
doing it? I want to win.
Something?
That's right. I want to win now. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
It's Coach, this is big, because where we are right now is we have an input into how this plays out. The question is, are we going to take it? And it's really the decision between Habakkuk versus Esther. Very simple. Are you going to witness your society being ravaged by foreigners and pay the price of not being loyal to God? Are you going to go to Habakkuk 3:17 and then have to lament the fact that there's no fruit on the trees, there's no animals in the library, and you're going to have to still find a way to worship God? Or are you going to be in Esther, where you say, for such a time as this, and Amen. Understand when you say those words, it means literally you're putting your life on the line for God and country, period. And if you're going to do that and be that bold and be able to stand in that Esther way, we will survive this. It will be, as is said in the 17th book of the Bible, in Esther, that will end up being the boomerang. We will end up taking this back. But if we're going to sit passive on the side and sit over here and expect things to be done for us, all that is a welfare program. God doesn't run a welfare program. And we're going to end up living that experience of Habakkuk in my opinion, where we're going to have to suffer through the pains and ills of watching a country ripped from us and go through all the nastiness that that entails for us to awaken. All of this is about us awakening and standing up and taking our responsibility as Christians in the world, in particular, and I don't know where they are, but males, and looking for them. Sure want to see them, would like to see more of them. But boy, I'm going to just, as I say it on my show, God bless the women in this nation for standing up, because if it hadn't been for them, we'd be a lot worse case than we are right now.
So, Scott, we stand on the shoulders of the WW1, WW2 guys. We stand on the shoulders of our liberties. We're living off of their lives. And here we are. I'm 68 and a half years old, going on 69, as they say. And Scott, thanks, buddy. What about my children and my grandchildren? What kind of country? How can I get up in the morning and look at what's going on around me, pray for the rapture, and leave this mess to my children? Scott, how do we think we can, how can we do that, Scott?
Coach, this is all fear. This is fear. This is a bunch of people that have inculcated their way of being around fear. They say pandemic and they run. They say virus, they say shot. I mean, it's like it's been so conditioned. And all of that centers on the fact that we as a nation walked away from God. We just literally walked away from God. God was on the throne of this nation. We are not a republic. We are a monarchy. But the difference is our monarch and king was God. It's right in the Declaration of Independence. If you think I'm kidding, read it. Our creator gave us unalienable rights unless we were stupid enough to hand it back to him, which, oh, by the way, we just did.
Amen.
Said, oh, here's God's gifts, but I'm going to give it to you as a petty tyrant in your state, whether it's your local official, the school board member, or the state official. And by the way, it also says in the Declaration of Independence, and it's pretty clear, it's our responsibility. But here's the key word, Coach, duty. That word duty means something. It's our duty to throw off such form of government that violates that structure.
Amen. So in other words, we're not supposed to, Romans 13, obey ungodly governments. Is that what you're telling me, Scott?
How could you obey? No, we're not going. I'm not going to obey a Luciferian government.
Amen.
I don't know what. What type of nonsense is that? The churches are pushing around Romans 13 like, oh, this is obey, and it's like, yeah, Franklin Graham. No, I'm not a believer that Christ would take the injection any more than I'm a believer that I'm going to obey a corrupt and Luciferian government. Not happening.
Not going to do it. Not going to do it. That's what Bard's Fest is all about, folks. Jack McCarthy, come on in, Jack. Folks, we're going to open it up. Jump in here if you want. Go ahead, Jack.
Scott, thanks so much for what you're doing. Been listening to you quite a bit. Hey, you just said that when somebody says pandemic, we run and get a shot. Somebody says this, we go fear. Somebody says terrorist, we have a Patriot Act. And then we have Homeland Security and have real ID. And now we have the vaccine passport, which is actually, they want us to fight that, I believe. I want your opinion. I believe they want us to fight the vaccine passport so that we all go away when they say, oh, no, we're not going to do that because it's already part of your real ID.
Well, I think that a lot of the vaccine passport is, I mean, obviously a couple things to take a look at right now. They're shaken up by something, and I think a lot of it is the awakening.
We're winning, Scott. We're winning, man. We're winning.
They really are, because their plan, if you look at it, it's real simple, and they mapped it out. They telegraph everything. They went to it. They were at a 2030 model. They moved it to a 2025 model in Trump's last year, and then all of a sudden, that 2030-2025 agenda became September 2021. It's like, whoa, what just happened? Something's gotten them shaken. A lot of that is the strength of people awakening to what they're doing. They're fearful of losing that control. The idea of the passport, all of this digital nonsense that we are going to have to fight, that is a deeper level of fight that right now, unfortunately, we have to take the priorities of war. And what's before us is we've got to get people to awaken and put Christ back in their heart, give them strength. But to your point is, and the way that I see this currently, is that this digital tracking nonsense is everywhere. It is so woven into our society, and it's just sleight of hand constantly. It's like when we do one thing, we say we're going to do one thing, we've got 10 other things in the background we're doing. We have to dismantle the agencies that were built through the Patriot Act and built up. Because if we don't do that and we don't get those agencies ripped away, CIA, FBI, NSA, NRO, I could go through a list of them that are all way out of control, that have too much authority on the Patriot Act. Look, to the point of fear in 9/11, everybody panicked. And don't get me wrong, it's a dramatic event. 3,000 people died, but no one has had a point to question what just happened. And they literally, out of nowhere, developed a Patriot Act in a matter of days. That sucker had been sitting on the shelf for probably 10 years, ready to implement. And they found the moment, and they stripped away our Constitution from us right then.
Can I interject one thing there, Coach? Sorry.
Sure. Go ahead.
The Patriot Act was written prior to it's pre Oklahoma City, and Biden has his fingerprints all over it. Oklahoma City just wasn't a big enough event.
Mm. I agree that okay. The Timothy McVeigh moment.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Revelation 2015. Come on in.
Hey, thanks, Coach, and good morning, Scott. I want to tell you that I understand that feeling that you get when the iron door shuts behind you when you go to jail. I've spent some time there myself for drugs back in 2010, but a verse that comes to mind when you're talking about the people that you met in jail was those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. And I think it's amazing that God paired you up with some of these guys and maybe gave you a different perspective of what society would think as criminals. Mm. I mean, not saying that some of these guys aren't bad, but, you know.
No, I get what you're saying, but let me tell you something. That was an eye-opener because I was such a hardcore, like, punishment person. You know, you do a crime, go to jail, you know, and just sort of thing. And, boy, did my eyes get open. It's like, what are we doing here? And there was a guy in there that had his last parole hearing. He called his parole officer. And by the way, this is all validated, so that's a story from inside. Because people always say this is, oh, they're just telling you a story. And it's like, no, he's not telling me a story. This was validated. He called his parole officer because he had to go to the hospital for a diabetes issue for his last meeting. The parole officer violated him and then had him thrown in jail. He was held in jail for 6 months. In the meantime, he was he had, because of his diabetes, while he was there, he broke out into open sores on his feet, and I witnessed this, and it became gangrene. They finally got him in front of a judge 6 months later. I want to be clear about this. And the judge was so irate, he forced the parole officer to come testify in front of him. There was no justification for it. They ended up getting him out of hospital, and in the meantime, he had to have his foot amputated. Okay. This, our justice system is about people in beds and cots. You translate to $500 a day average of what it is to fill those jails. That's all it is. It's a number system. Our jail system is completely broken. When you have a jail system that's traded on Wall Street, it is another form of human trafficking. There are definitely problems in that people need to be incarcerated. But let me tell you, as you will probably agree, Revelation, is that it is nowhere near what we think. We have too many people that are stuck in there to just punish them and to make money off of them. And when stories, they do this repeat offender nonsense. They look for it. It's an easy pickup. Need to fill the beds in the jails. They go through, they pick up people that have already had a prior offense. And especially with the three strike rule, they line them up. So it's horrible, the system we have.
Follow the money. RJ, come on in.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. And good morning, Scott. Randall Barnett. I'm a Marine pilot going back to the 80s. Hoorah.
Hoorah.
That was under Reagan. Now, I've got a question about the event. It sounds really awesome. You've got a breakout deal where counties will be getting together. And I'm curious if that's being organized in such a way where you'll have any experts, let's say, talking about setting up grand juries at a county level, going back to the assembly, you know, the original republic versus this corporate monarchy that we're into, and showing people how to start an assembly. Do you have anybody that's going to be involved at that level where they've had experience working at the common law?
Great question, RJ.
It's a great question, and I'm going to tell you, in this particular festival, the answer is no, and I'll just explain why. It has not to do that I don't believe in it, because I think it's the only way forward. The reason we haven't put a lot of emphasis on it is our county-by-county model this year is really
focused. Click on that, Spencer. County-by-county. It's on the – yeah, go ahead.
It's really focused on what we're doing at our household level. So we're building up the first pillar of this, which is how to build our responsibility and sovereignty in the household to give strength down to the individual. As we progress this over this year, because the county-by-county is going to be launched nationwide, we've got teams organizing. We're working with some incredible pastors, some real black robe types, and other people. And there's other groups doing similar things. We're going to be integrating all this together. But our focus on county by county is literally in the home. And when we look at that, I can just give you the highlight of that very quickly. And it's important is just we have seven pillars. We have the home churches, homeschooling, Patriot Gardens, which is a revival of the Victory Garden.
Yeah.
Right Work, which is getting away from the corporate yoke, health and healing, energy independence, which is actually now we call stewardship, and informed action. So the idea is to create the foundations within the home, putting God center and first above all things. And that gives the tools and ability to start doing many of the things you're talking about.
There it is, folks. All politics has become local. And Scott, I was for about a week, I've been meaning to talk about this on our show because this is so profound as a plan that we have to get our eyes off of Washington, D.C. and Donald Trump and Jim Jordan and focus where we can have an impact, which is locally. Joe Allen, come on in, then Reggie. You there, Joe?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go.
Coach, thanks, Scott, for being on. Coach, I want you to hold up the stick man. Explain that. And I would like Scott to answer.
Scott, I don't know if you can see this or not. This is my explanation of where we are, right? Head knowledge. We like to go to conferences and do prophecy studies, and this star says this, and this says this, and it's coming. And we're a great big stick man with a great big head and no activity at all. We just stand around.
It looks like you created what my coach would have called a pencil. Yeah,
that's right. The time
to act is now. I spent 24 years in the government. We ain't got time.
We ain't got time. That Scott's all over that, Joe. He's all over it. Reggie, come on in.
Thank you, Coach. Scott, I do have a question for you, but one thing that one I'll lead up to that quick question quickly is I hear, Reggie, you're mean. I get it. I've been awake for 30 years. I've been ringing that bell forever. I've been shut down, shut up, told to shut up. I want you to reiterate if you could, please, because I know you've made it. I hear it in your terminology. You get it. People aren't to that point where they're just not getting where we're at. This is Lucifer, Luciferians, Christians, Christ in every facet of everything. So when I heard you say, you know, Franklin Graham, he's a Luciferian. People are not getting this. They're still sitting by saying Christ is going to save us. Christ is going to help us. They're not. When you say get up and fight, I know what you mean by that because I've been doing it. I advocate for the children and people. Do you see anybody helping me? Do you know my group is so small? People aren't getting it. They're still not getting it. And I would really, really beg you to reiterate again where we're doing here. They're just not getting it.
Well, the problem we have it's a comfort zone that we live in. And it's this convenient idea that life is supposed to be easy, which is nowhere in there. Is there any contract that says life is to be easy? And with that, we've created a very lazy and complacent public. The sad part about it is, I'm just going to put it bluntly, anybody that listens to this, if you've taken the shot, you're going to die early. That's the bottom line. And I'm just going to be blunt about it.
Say that again.
If you've taken the shot, your lifespan's about 3 years now. You're going to die. End. Okay? That's a decision you just made because you had your head up your butt walking around this world pretending that the government was going to take care of you. If you can't get your head around that and you can't understand what you just did, if you are out here thinking that this is a middle ground that you don't want to get involved, let me put it this way. Anybody in your family, anybody in your friends, in your neighborhood, now their lifespan that they've taken that shot is about 3 years. I want you to think about that.
You talk about a financial reset, huh, Scott, when all these people are dropping over dead.
That's correct. And this is really well said. I'm not going to take credit for this. This was the friar that has been doing a number of these videos from France. And I'll put it in another terms as he's put it. Get a hazmat suit. Not because you're going to be worried about getting contamination from the people that are dying, but here's a simple one. You're going to be asked to start picking up bodies. You're going to overwhelm a system because what they have just done, if you think that this is an accident or these anomalies aren't there, you need to put this in terms of real. These are the highest, most sophisticated labs in the country, including DOD, because I've seen this technology for real. This is not a joke. This technology has been incubated by DARPA, and they were put it in the labs. They had it ready to go for years. They have just deployed a mass eradication weapon. It's a bioweapon. And they did it to depopulate the world. They did it, and they did it in such an amazing way because the foolishness of people, the lack of faith in God, and the willingness to follow the faith in fear allowed them to roll up their sleeves and say, inject me. And they took the thing willingly by their free will. That is the critical component here. You'll notice they are not forcing anything. People are using their free will. What did God give us as a principal issue in life? Free will. Choose me or not, but choose me and come back to me. You'll get your inheritance. Well, you just chose the other path. And that other path is Luciferian by nature because they want to eradicate humanity. If you don't believe that, if you question it, then you need to start looking at the people like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Steve Meehan, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Carrie Madej. These are amazing experts in the field that are laying this out for you step by step. So reality is, if you've taken the shot and you haven't taken the shot and you're trying to get your head around where we are on a clock right now, a clock. That clock is the final clock and countdown on what we're going to do. When this society starts to unravel, and it will, it's not a question of if, it will. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be standing on the side of God fighting for freedom and the love of Christ in this world? Or are you going to be sitting on the side expecting someone like FEMA to take care of you? Because they're happy to take care of you their own way. It's called Green Zones. Look at it on the CDC website if you doubt it. And you're going to discover that they already have the camp set up and ready to roll for you.
Amen. Scott, we got about 5 minutes here. Bard's Fest. Bring us back there real quickly. What's going on? This is a spiritual event, the blowing of shofars. And Scott, hey, listen, everybody watching right now, go to bardsfest.com. Is that what it is, Scott? Bardsfest.com, whatever it is.
Right. No, you got it, Coach. Bardsfest.com. And it also is on the website. It's the same thing. It takes you to the same place.
Donate. Will you donate, for heaven's sakes? Quit giving money to Walmart. Quit sending money to Focus on the Family. Send some money to Scott Kesterson. He is putting boots on the ground. He's bringing together. They told us not to assemble together. The Lord said, yes, assemble together. And Scott says, damn it, we're going to assemble. Folks, this takes money to do it. Everybody watching right now, go make a donation. $5, $10, whatever. Go do it right now. Scott, I'm going to give you the last 3 minutes, which I never do, and wrap this thing up for us. Bard's Fest, how they can help, what we need to do, brother. Go ahead.
All right. So, Coach, this is Bard's Fest. It is a spiritual revival. It's an assembly of those that are love God, love this nation, but most importantly, love God and have Christ in their heart. And if you're waffling on that Christ part, come, we'll fix that anyway. We'd love to have you.
So. This ain't conservative republicanism, right, Scott?
Right, it's not. And by the way, if you're worried about this being like one of those Jesus events, it is. So come, because we're proud of it. So, but it's in the most amazing way. So I'm unabashed about our love for Christ and what we're trying to do here. We're trying to reset God on the throne of this nation. And we're doing it from the heart of the nation in the show me state. Come out there. We're going to show you what it's like. You're going to experience the most amazing thing in the world. August 26th to August 29th in St. Louis, Missouri. It's an entirely donation-driven event, and it's all patriot-driven and patriot-funded because we're all coming together, and it is amazing how much support we have here, and we want your support. This is us bringing an assembly of amazing speakers, amazing things out there to bring God back into the heart and the love of this nation. So 26th to the 29th, we have shofars blowing on the first night, 300 shofars plus shofars all around the world being blown at the same time. That's part of our celebration on the evening. Every single night, we have amazing music to close out the day. We have pastors through the whole day, great truth tellers. On the 27th of the event, which is Friday, Mike Lindell's coming in. It's what we call Slipper Revolution Day, to support him and honor him for what he's done in this nation. Saturday, Sunday, our times change. We go from 7 to 6 p.m. instead of 10 to 10 each day. We wrap it up at 6 p.m. with 300 more shofars blowing. We are literally bringing God into this world in a most amazing way, activating it and putting his glory back on the throne of this nation. There you go, Coach.
Brother, I couldn't have said it better myself. So, folks, look, friends. You guys who watch this show regularly, I go back to what Joseph said. You know, that's our battle cry. Scott, you don't know anything about me. We've got groups all across America, Scott. We've been doing it for 5 years, waking up small groups. We had one in Michigan that kicked off this weekend. We had one here in Ohio. We got them going in Oklahoma. We got them going in Texas. We got them going in South Dakota. We got them going everywhere, folks. This is what it's all about. No longer can we be content to hide inside our prayer closets. We have to come out, get engage the enemy. We are at war. Listen, folks, they're in a war coming. There's already a war raging. and we've been missing in action. And as I've said before, we are 60 years behind building our team, but we're doing catch up in a hurry. We're putting a team together. We're uniting people across the whole spectrum. We are going, Scott, it's my favorite word. I'm an old football coach, brother. I don't want to win in the end. I want to win now. I don't know how much time I got left, Scott. I want to see victory while I'm here. I know ultimately I get victory, but I want to be part of it. I want to be dancing in the end zone and spiking the football, brother. That's what I want to be doing.
I'm in, Coach. That's exactly right. I've been in war, real war, and I'm going to tell you, this is as real as it gets. It may not be bodies on the ground yet, but it's coming.
Bodies on the ground. Go ahead.
This is real. I don't even know how to say it than that. By the way, just so I caveat this, Coach, on the way out, my whole focus was information warfare. We're working with the best teams in the world. If you don't think this is a war, let me tell you, you are walking in the matrix. This is the worst type of war they have because they're going for your perception of reality and to control your mind. And if you don't get a grip on it, they're going to control you, all right, right off a cliff into the sacrificial altar for their good deeds, which are not good at all.
Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins with truth. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Carry the shield of faith and the word of God. And having done all, to stand. Folks, it's time to stand. Bard's Fest, August 26th through the 29th, St. Louis. Scott Kesterson, you are me. You are me. I'm so proud of you, Scott.
Thank you. God bless you.
Can't wait to look you in the eyes, shake your hand. God bless you. Thanks,
Coach. I'm going to have to jump off. I've got a show to do, but thank you very much. And everybody, thank you very much for having me here. God bless you all, and hope to see you at Bard's Fest. Until the next time, Coach.
God bless. Thanks, Scott.
That's out for now.
All right. See you tomorrow.